Welcome to Breaking Cyber Barriers. I'm your host, Liz Faginas, cybersecurity recruiter, certified executive coach, trusted advisor, and partner of Philip Madison, a woman-owned cybersecurity search firm with over 20 years of experience. My podcast will delve into the world of cybersecurity, uncovering trends and exploring its limitless potential. So join me to hear how industry leaders share their experiences and strategies for success. Today, I'm very excited to have as my guest, Chad Walter, Chief Revenue Officer of Paperclip Incorporated. Chad is a cybersecurity veteran with 27 years of experience in cybersecurity strategy, marketing, operations, and consulting leadership. Welcome, Chad.
Well, thanks, Liz. And I like it when you call me a veteran, although I always feel like I've been in cybersecurity all this time, and I always feel like there's something more to learn. I just don't know enough. There's something new thrown at me. There's a new shift in trends. So a little bit of imposter syndrome whenever I hear that.
Right. You know, we're constantly learning in any industry that you're in and in life in general. If we're not, we're doing something wrong.
I think that all these years in cybersecurity has been just a testament of how much it's changed, how much it continually morphs. And we laugh about the fact that we weren't supposed to have any paper at this point. We're supposed to be all cyber, but yet we still handle a lot of paper, which talks a little bit about what I do.
Right. So today's topic is data security, privacy, trust, and encryption. And before we get started, Chad, I just wanted to ask you if you could tell us why you made the jump from cybersecurity consulting and strategy to Paperclip.
It's a great question. I made the jump partly because after meeting with the Paperclip team and learning more about their culture, they're very data-centric. They're a 33-year-old company, which sounds interesting, especially when I make the next statement, that Paperclip is also a very innovative company. We often confuse innovation. You must be a startup. You must be venture capital. You must be, but they're not. And at their core was this cybersecurity mentality. 33 years ago, the name Paperclip came from clipping relevant information off documents to move it to the digital space. So digitization, moving from paper to digital. And along with that came a responsibility of cybersecurity. And as I talked more with the leadership team, and I was very impressed with their focus on a data-centric model, everything built from the data out, defense in depth from the data out, and recognizing that at the end of the day, what the threat actors are always after, whether it's data theft or data ransom, it's the core data itself. So that understanding, that focus, and then the culture, the average tenure of an employee is 15 years, and it's only 15 years because I skew that. I've only been there for just under 2 years.
That's a great story, and it's an interesting way that you've transitioned as well. So I'm sure you get this question asked a lot, but what do you see as the biggest concerns or challenges in cybersecurity today?
Well, I'll take it from the leadership role, whether it's a CISO or a CIO or a VP of cybersecurity, data security, et cetera. Probably one of the biggest challenges is the rapid change of the role itself, and largely driven by compliance, mandates, regulations, the new laws that are coming out. We've seen some of those. We've seen it from the SEC. We've seen it from FINRA, the new audits. And there's even more stuff coming out. So this rapid evolution of the role driven by the fluidity of data itself. So 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we were still making that transition from brick and mortar to cyber. A lot of companies were still very much in that brick and mortar space. That's not the case anymore. I mean, even when you go and sit down at a restaurant and you place your order, that wait person is going to a computer terminal, entering your order, it goes to the cloud, goes from the cloud to the kitchen. In the meantime, the transactions being processed, all of that's happening in the cyberspace. So data fluidity is one of the key challenges. And as I mentioned, complexity of compliance, complexity of the rules, what do we follow? What do we subscribe to? And I haven't even gotten into the complexity and the sophistication of the threat actor, putting yourself in those shoes. So those were three big ones. Between rapid evolution of the role, fluidity of data, and then complexity of technology and compliance.
Interesting. So that being said, under today's topic of data security, privacy, trust, and encryption, why do you feel it's so hard to meet these minimal requirements?
I think we get mired in the complexity is one of the challenges. And that's what I hear from CISOs and CIOs quite often. And there's still a little bit of a disconnect at the C-suite in between this concept of privacy and security. So here in the States, we largely look at privacy as being a silo. And then we've got cybersecurity sitting over here as being in its other silo. At the core fact, you can't have privacy without securing the data. Privacy is all about data. And so that is changing. We're slowly making that realization that privacy is data and the data needs to be secured. The accountability, now that is another area of challenge here and something that is changing, is who's accountable for securing privacy, for securing data, for building out that strategy and managing that strategy. And we've seen some precedent that is a little concerning, whether you want to talk about the SolarWinds case, or you want to talk about Uber, or you want to talk about some of the Wells notices that are coming out of the SEC. All of this is just creating this shift in the paradigm when it comes to privacy and the ongoing trust. The other challenge is the consumers are starting to fight back. When you look at the NIL rules, everyone thinks that was about professional athletes making more money. It was actually about protecting the value of their cyber self. It's the cyber realm, and that's about trusting how their image is being used and making sure it's monetized properly. They should get credit for using their image if someone else is making money on it. And the actor strike, the writer strike, same thing. It was about protecting their cyber self, the value of their cyber self, which is part of that privacy component and rolls into trust. And I'm going to simplify something that is fairly complex, is we've got to get back to a data-centric mentality in our build-out of cybersecurity and compliance alignment. I know NIST 2.0, those conversations are going on right now. We're trying to reestablish and restructure the way we build out compliance and build out regulations. But more so than waiting for the next regulation, and compliance typically is 24 plus months behind what's actually happening today. So you think about Gen AI and its use of data, which is creating a lot of concern, a lot of pressure on that trust component and the usability component. So we can't wait for those regulations. As companies, we have to recognize we do business in the cyberspace. We owe it to our clients. We owe it to our partners. We owe it to our employees to protect their data, protect their cyber self. And so taking a step back, taking the time to look at the core data, what data do we have, who has access to it, where does it reside, how important is it? If it was in the hands of a threat actor, what would happen with that data? What would happen to our business? And how disruptive would that be? Some of the data we need to protect isn't defined as being private data or controlled data. It's our own IP. And if a threat actor got access to it, they could create some havoc or even be catastrophic. We may not be in business. And actually, that's very similar to the conversation that Paperclip had about 8 years ago when they went down the path of building out this, but safe, encryption of data and use solution. Was they looked at the terabytes of data that they were housing for their clients, and it was all about trust. It was all about building out that trust. And so back to that first question, what encouraged my jump from consulting to more of the product side? And it was that focus, that alignment to core beliefs, core principles, foundational principles around securing data.
Do you mind just describing to us a little bit about Paperclip and what their expertise level is in?
Sure. So Paperclip, in a lot of companies, a lot of people haven't heard of us. Everyone knows what a paperclip is. They hold paper together. The name came from 33 years ago, developing a solution. The first technologies were in taking the paper documents. If you think about HIPAA, which was all about the portability of healthcare records.
Yeah.
And in order for them to be portable, they were digitized. And so there was a big push to get the documents off the shelves in a doctor's office and into a computer space, into a cyberspace.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where their first innovations came from. Now, from that point forward, Paperclip, when I mentioned they're an innovations company, we've got clients, and our clients range from tier one enterprise companies in the financial services space down to smaller organizations, broker dealers and RIAs and so on in that world. But smaller organizations. Ultimately, our clients largely come to us and say, okay, we're doing this. This is our process. Can you make it more efficient? And they look at their cyber expertise, and that's where they build out their efficiency. And when we go back about 20 years ago, that efficiency and that innovation moved into the cybersecurity realm. So we've always been focused on securing our data. So we built out things like our virtual client folder has a cybersecurity background, including our paperclip safe solution, which is integrated into all of our solutions. We've got a point email encryption solution for B2B and B2C. And that came from our clients weren't happy with the solutions they were using, wanted something that was simpler. Their customers were refusing to use the complexity that was currently in place. And so we simplified that. That's where we've grown from. I could go on and on about this story for quite a while, but ultimately it comes from good old fashioned business principles of listening to your clients. What are your clients asking for? Where are their pain points? And they trust us enough to come to us and say, could you develop this? And we've got an electronic signature solution, an e-signature solution we'll be rolling out in the next 2 to 3 months to simplify that process, because if our clients were running into roadblocks or incurring excess costs. And so that'll be another innovation coming out. Right now, our primary focus is launching our paperclip safe, which is encryption of data in use, which is a huge gap in the market space.
That's exciting.
It is. It is. It's challenging. It's an education curve. Another benefit to working with the paperclip and not being a startup, not being venture capital funded, not that there's anything wrong with that, but having that long-term understanding of go-to-market strategy, bringing out new solutions, understanding that if you're going to be disruptive, there's always an education curve to that. And you've got to stick to that education, got to double down on the investment. And that's what they've done to date.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. As a chief revenue officer in this space, what are you envisioning as the biggest challenges in your role?
I think the challenge in this space right now, we know that human capital is a huge challenge. It's both a benefit and a challenge for us. Our solutions roll out efficiency and they create efficiencies for our clients. We also have to be cognizant to the challenges in recruiting new staff, pulling staff from their existing operations, their existing roles, and moving them into something that's different and onboarding that staff.
Right.
I think we're seeing that, you know, when we look at the CISO role, and I work with a lot of CISOs, belong to an organization which is a peer group of CISOs, and staffing is something that we all talk about, that we've got an education challenge, which is not uncommon in high growth areas such as cybersecurity. You know, the education support to bring people up to speed is usually lags behind the demand. And that's not a bad problem to have. But it does challenge our compensation planning around executive layer is challenging enough. And then the support layer is, you know, how much is too much? How do you assure that the person you're bringing on board has the required talent and skills that apply to your position that you've got open? I'd like to say that that's new to the world. I mean, we've been talking about this since I entered the professional space back in 1980-something.
Well, I understand, you know, how things are evolving and the challenges. And on that respect, especially the education piece, as you indicated, that's so, so, so key today.
And simple items such as margin establishment, cost of goods sold, all of that, you know, when you're working in the cyberspace, and a lot of it is creative, innovative, understanding putting a pin in cost of goods sold is always a challenge. You know, what is my core cost of that solution? Understanding that it may have been 2, 3, 4 years of development is rolled in there. And, you know, what is the forecast for recouping those costs and those investments? And then looking at the effort, the cost of acquisition for new sales, you know, how long does it take to acquire that new client? But, you know, that has changed. I think I was talking to my marketing director here recently, and it wasn't that long ago where we used to say from a marketing standpoint, it was 7 touch points. I think in 2024, it's 24 to 28 touch points to get someone's attention. You've got to be really creative. So that changes your perspective, your approach to marketing, and your marketing ROI changes.
Well, that's it. And, you know, is your offering a nice to have or a must have, you know, by the person that you're approaching, and how to be able to overcome those objections is key.
What do you mean, Liz? Our products are always a must-have.
I'll try that with my CISO group.
Yes. We always go to market thinking that everyone has to have this solution. And yes, you do align to, you know, what we call pain, timeline, decision maker, and budget. Those are the 4 key components you need to align to for a successful sales transaction. And Pain's number one for a reason. If there is no pain, there's no deep.
Well, in closing, Chad, what are a few key pieces of actionable advice you can share with our audience today?
I think in cybersecurity, be open to peer groups. Look for peer groups. And when I say peer groups, I think one of the challenges, one of the mistakes we make is we fall into these peer groups that are industry specific. They've got to be part of our vertical. So if I'm in banking, my peer group's got to be banking. You know, they talk my language. They walk my walk. They use the same vendors. They're faced with the same challenges. Well, there's a lot of roadblock there. There's a lot of unforeseen barriers in that conversation, because if they're just like you, you're going to get the same results. You're going to get the same answer. You know, you've got to have your vertical peer groups. Don't get me wrong. But open your peer groups to, you know, if I'm in banking and I'm a CISO for a community bank, or we'll say a mid-enterprise bank, get involved with a peer group that might have manufacturing CISOs in it. It might have life insurance CISOs in it, healthcare CISOs. You know why? Because it's all data. And it does come down to data. We've all got the same challenge. We're storing it in the same storage arrays. What we define that data as being rows and columns in a database. We may call that column something else, but at the end of the day, it's a social security number. But we've got similar challenges. It's the same threat actors that are targeting both of us. And the way someone in manufacturing has solved that data security challenge may be very relevant to what's going on in banking right now. So look outside the box. That's an old term, and I know we said in the mid-90s we were going to stop saying look outside the box. So I just dated myself. But absolutely, do it. Look outside the box. Put yourself in threat actor's shoes. Look at it from their angle. How would they get into your network? And then go and look different ways that other industries, other verticals have solved that challenge or are working to solve that challenge. And establish mentors, not just finding a mentor, which is very important. I have multiple mentors that I go to for advice. A few of them are former bosses of mine, people that I reported to, whose positions I aspired to at one point. And a few of them are outside of my particular industry, but they're people I've established good relationships with. But also be a mentor. Open yourself up to providing mentorship. That's probably the greatest way we're going to instill the experience and the knowledge into that next generation of problem solvers of cybersecurity. And then lastly, you know, and I say this a lot, and I've said this long before I came to Paperclip, look at it from a data perspective. What data do you have, and what data in the hands of a threat actor would be catastrophic or disruptive to your business? That's where you want to focus your energy and build out from that core GUI center of the data. If we look at defense in depth, that's where it always began, was at the data. That's what runs our business. Our business is data. So take it from that approach. And there's a whole slew of other advice, and I'm sure, and I'm always welcome to advice from the outside world. And Liz, you and I have known each other off and on for a long time. Any support and any share of thought and ideas is very important.
Yeah, I really agree with you in terms of the mentorship, having a trusted advisor yourself, but also seeing others as sees you as a trusted advisor. In my experience of being a coach for 24 years, you know, I very much relate to what you're saying, and that's going to be so key for the next generation.
Yeah, I think, and I'm going to paraphrase this and I'm probably going to say it wrong, but the most effective leaders are those leaders who are building the next crop of leaders, the next wave of leaders. That's true leadership.
Right.
Yeah, those people who report to us, take the time, understand what their goals are, align to their goals. When you mentor your employees and you encourage them to strive to take your job at some point in the future, it's only because you're moving on and they're filling the gap. So it's usually the easiest place to start is internal.
Very good. Very good advice. I really appreciate that. Is there anything else you want to add before we close?
No, I think this is a great session, and thank you for inviting me to be part of this. Look forward to any feedback and any pieces of sage wisdom that can be provided by yourself or any of the listeners. But again, Liz, thank you for the time, and look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you. That's a wrap, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.